The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of this radio station, its management, or affiliates. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, when we walk to the Ed Sheeran show, does it rap, R&B, and everything we know. From hip-hop, beats to soulful flow, we dive into the culture, how we grow. Relationship news and headlines fresh, talk to music genres, feeling every net. It's more than the sounds, it's life, it's goals. Right here on Ed Taylor, the story unfolds.
Ed Taylor's on, take the seat, let's explore.
You want to start it off, Chazzo?
I can start it off.
You want to start what off? It was just the world famous Ed Taylor show. Tony Jabba, we up in here. Hit it like that up here, Jabba. Go ahead, do it.
Welcome, y'all. This is the Ed Taylor show with your boy Tony Jazzo and Ed Taylor.
That's right. We in the building. You know what I'm saying? We in the building. Our building is made out of Legos with glue. You know what I'm saying? You ever step on a Lego, man, that's an experience for you right there, man. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Imagine how you get built. Body build from it.
You tell
having
me
a Lego a chin and Lego chin having a Lego body. You feel
man,
me?
Hey,
you
look, walking, man.
Walking weird.
Exactly. Hey, but them Lego movies was kind of dope, man. I don't know if you ever seen one of them, man. Them
Lego I've seen them. I've seen them,
man. Them was some
but
good
also,
movies.
The video games. Have you played the games? The games, you know the what, video man? Games I, go off
I don't get into games that much. You know what I mean? Like that to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You
but know, it, so, it's real fun, though.
Man.
You got to try it, though. It's
man,
a good
I
experience.
Am. I'm going to try it, man. I'm going to definitely give it a shot, man, because, you know, it's
coming.
Oh, hold on a sec.
Coming off of being in Miami, a night of partying, I don't really remember what I was saying. You know what I'm saying? Play some. Hey, yo, listen, yo, I love it all. I love it.
Wow.
Man.
What's wow.
You like this, Daddy? Scrambling.
You said, I like when you do it like that, Daddy. When you scrambling and scraping for shit.
Hey, man.
Hey, no cussing. Hey, Ed Taylor, there's no cussing on here.
Well, you don't want to curse that. Mr. Lee,
no, you put that there.
I like when you like this, Daddy. Yeah,
where you put my bag
Daddy, I like when you're
oh,
you scrambling
right
and scraping.
That's what happened to me when I stepped on that Lego. I was scrambling and scraping, trying to keep on my feet from falling down. So, you know, what's up, everybody out there, man? Me and Tony Jazzo just sitting back in the studio, man, acting like two complete fools. You know what I'm saying? And we got an exciting show for you. Man, it's going to be great, great, great. Tony Jazzo, as usual, is in the house. He going to say some things that's probably going to make you laugh. I'm going to be here, too. You know what I'm saying? We're here for the paycheck, so you know what I'm saying? So we got to do what we do. Actually, we're not getting paid for this, but not today.
Bro, you know what? We're going to get paid in the back end. For
there you go.
Once it gets out.
I want to get to that back end. Where's that back end at? You know what I mean? I don't want nobody. I got to watch my use of that word.
I like when you like this, Daddy. Daddy, I like when you're scrambling and scraping for shit.
Scrambling is crazy, man. We were talking earlier and about building in the communities, how people, how money passes through hands so fast in some communities that they don't even get a chance to grow with it, and they become the what would you call them? The used to be. What I used to be or what I used to have?
Yeah, what I used to have and what I used to be, being a useful man, just being the yes man, no, not yes man, being the yesterday's man.
Yesterday's
so you know
man.
What this topic of, like, so you know what this topic reminds me of? It reminds me of being a cheapskate and rich by heart.
Hang on a sec. I got a check right here. I guess we are getting paid. Let me see. Oh, no, they done made a check look like a bill. Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry.
So this goes with my topic, right? And
right.
This is a good one.
Right,
I just came with the idea that the idea is called being a cheapskate versus being rich at heart.
Being a cheapskate versus being rich at heart. So rich at heart is a rich mind state, or how's that work?
Yeah, the rich mind state. Yeah, having a rich mind state to knowing how to take care of all your priorities first before you go out and try to reward yourself.
Man, I feel you, man. That's how it's supposed to be. I mean, you're supposed to take care of everything that makes sense and then you go out and you could take those rewards and have some fun with it. But in the middle of those two, it should be a building process too. It should be the long plan. It's like, yeah, you know what I mean? I need to do this too.
But, exactly.
You know, so our topic of that, of the conversation stems around people not developing in the areas they should be developing in. You know, they want to get
because this. People have these ideas. People have these ideas that I can change things but with no money. People have this idea like all I got to do is get supporters. And that's not how it is when it comes to structuring a power structure of a movement or anything like that. You need to put some investments behind you. You need to invest into yourself in the path of a career path. If you don't invest in yourself, you can't make change. Change comes with investment. People don't want to hear that. It's good that you have good ideas, but it's a difference when you actually applying that pressure and applying those ideas and making them come to real life in fiction.
Exactly. So no matter what you do out there, man, you gotta be investing in you. And you can't expect other people thinking, oh, if I just had this, what if you just had that? You still gonna be you. You have to bring something. It has to match. You know what I mean? Somebody said, man, all I need is this. But yeah, but that them people that all you need that can give you that, they looking for somebody who's doing something more. You know what I mean? Because they want to reap some of them rewards too. Or they want to invest in somebody that's investing in themselves. You know, it's real tough.
So you know what? I want to give it a little intake, and I ain't going to be too much long. I feel like we've been... So this is where we at in America. This is why we are so propped down to the point where we are so broke, financially broke, and not financially investing ourselves because we're not actually taking care of what we need to take care of. We living in this bubble where we got to flex just to make it. We got to flex. We got to do it all for clout. And that's not what it is. Like, people put a lot of money in jewelry, a lot of money in clothes. And it's like in getting these new Jordans, getting these new shoes. It's like they're going to stay there. They're just shoes.
Yeah,
what
man.
Can they do for you? Hey, like, look, at the end of the day,
as I got older, I realized it's smarter to invest in Nike company, buy their stock, then put some shoes on that's going to get dirty, scuffed up, messed up, and I'm not going to have no more.
Or at least be a sponsor. A sponsor with them.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. There's plenty of ways on getting shoes, getting free stuff in a way to where you just got to, like, put an agenda on the table. Like, put an idea, but put an agenda where it's established, where it's going to be real. Like, at least if you're going to wear our shit, at least let's make money off of it.
Got to watch them words, bro. But yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I feel you, man. Yeah, you know what? We got to get back to the subject. I do have an interview with someone, and I need to get him on, and then we're going to get back to more Ann Taylor and Tony Jazzo talking about just developing yourself. And we have a song that Tony Jazzo and I did. Rob G. still ain't sent me the files. Rich Mindset, and that's exactly what that's about. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm going to get me a turkey pot pie. Hang on a second. Announcement time.
Who fix me turkey pot pie?
Go, and on the count of three. Go, and on the count of three. Go. On the count of three, everybody run back to your fantasy. Now, go, and on the count of three. Go, and on the count of three. Everybody run back to your fantasy now.
She was a bad, the type at the club would grab her. Fantasize when I had her in the bathroom sweating with her up. The body of a dancer. We had chemistry cause she was a cancer. Thought forever it would last for, but forever move faster. So I had to. Still I got the pause when I think about her in them drawers. And ooh baby she liked it. And like rain when she poured it. Like a persistence, our frames explored. Let me know she was secure. Back for more, I wanna
go, 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 go. And on the count of three, go, 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 go. And on the count of three, go, 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 go. On the count of three, everybody run back to your fantasy.
All right, welcome back to the Ant Taylor Show. This is Ant Taylor. I'm sitting here with Tavarin Marshall, my main man, you know what I'm saying, a.k.a. L. Martell, a.k.a. L. Bartello. He's an award-winning independent promoter, producer, radio personality, and radio station director based out of Austin, Texas, originally from New Bern, North Carolina. He spent his formative years in San Francisco, California. After 20 years in the military, big ups to the Air Force, he decided to pursue a career in the music business. One more time, give a warm welcome to Tavarin Marshall. Yo, yo, what's up, man? Did I say your name right or wrong? I'm sorry. I'll be like, you know.
Hey, you said it. Almost. You said it perfect and eloquently. I like that. Thanks for that intro.
No problem. No problem, my man. That intro couldn't have been better, man. It was like, if it was any better, you would have wrote it yourself. Hey, so.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, for the folks out there, this gentleman is very well-rounded. I know him from IGR, Miami Radio, and it came across that we kind of, like, grew up. Like, it's like a TV show with the same cast on both shows, but they got different crew members. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's like we kind of, like, knew each other, but we didn't know each other. But we knew people that knew each of us at the same time while we were growing up and everything. So, yeah, small world, small world. Welcome, my brother. Welcome. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you. I am excited, and definitely I shared that story with somebody that, you know, I thought from the people we knew, the mutual friends we have, we should have known each other, you know, because we know some of the same people.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's great. I might have owed them people $20. That might have been keeping me away. I don't know. Yeah. You know?
right on. Shout out to Turtle, too. I know he's in L.A. somewhere doing his thing. Absolutely. You know, shout out to Turtle.
Yeah, Turtle. We should call him up. And let me see if I can catch him. I'll prank call his ass. You know, let me see if he online.
Oh, that'll be ill if he picks up.
Let me see. I might have to get another number though, because you know I don't know how to do a double call on this system, but I guess we'll have to wait on that one. That would have been nice.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Mess with him a little bit.
So
yeah, why don't you if you can, you know more about yourself than I do. So if you wouldn't mind, could you tell a little bit about, you know, go into some of the things that you're currently working on and some of the things you're doing and some of the moves, because you're a mover and a shaker. So some of the things that you moving on and shaking on right now, can we hear a little bit about them?
Yeah, definitely. Not to toot my own horn, but I was nominated for Southern Entertainment Awards Power Player of the Year for 2024. Although I didn't win, you know, it was great to be nominated. But yeah, I do a lot of stuff, you know, work with an urban influencer, rap charts contributor. And what that entails is we compile a list of the top up and coming independent rappers. Some of them are established rappers, and we put them on a list, top 30 list, and we send it out to all the DJs. And then the DJs will pick these artists up and add them to their playlist as well. I'm a former co-host of The Midnight Ride, which was a successful show on Insanely Get the Radio based in Austin, Texas. Music, movie soundtrack supervisor for Kendrick the Film and Robin's Place. Program director, as you said, for IGR Miami. This year, I'm an ISA finalist for DJ Radio Station of the Year 2025, Hood Idol Awards finalist for Promoter of the Year 2025, and Independent Hip Hop Radio Station of the Year for Hood Idol Awards as well. This is you know, we can go on and on, but you know, I want to keep the list kind of brief, you know, so we can, you know, talk about other stuff. I'm consistent.
Man, I was just about to hit you with I'm just gonna hit you with one of these. When I heard all the stuff you do, man. One more.
Right on.
That's it, man. Yeah. So, okay. All that's great. What the people really probably might want to hear is a little bit of the backstory. How did it start for you?
Well, I have an interesting, I always had a love for music, you know, even in San Francisco. When I moved to San Francisco in 1988, I went to Marina Middle School, but I was in English class, you know, cutting up as always, you know, I was like a class clown or something, but we was writing raps or whatever. And Miss Dean at the time, my English teacher, took one of our notes that we was writing around, you know, that we're passing around the classroom or whatever. She read it and she said, "You're going to be in a talent show." And I was like, I had no intentions of being a talent show, you know. So I went to the talent show, did great. You know, we didn't have like a, it was his first year of the school doing that. So we didn't have like a winner or whatever. But the crowd gave me a standing ovation or whatever. And I always remember that in the back of my head, like, oh, maybe I can do this, you know. And everywhere I go, people would ask me to say that little rap that I made for that the high school talent show. You know, that's why I came up. That's why I knew Black Nate as well. Okay. He didn't go to Marina. I think he went to Gala at the time, but he heard about me through word of mouth. Like, oh, he raps or whatever. I think it was Wally Gator. I don't know if you know Gator, but Wallace had told him that I.
You said Wallace?
Yeah. You know Wallace?
I depend which one. So this is the Eddie Mo brother, or is it. Let me see if it's not
Eddie. Yeah, he know he's not his brother, but he knows Eddie Mo.
Okay, hang on a second.
Wally Gator.
Let me get it right. Light skin dude, right?
Light skin, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's the homie.
Definitely. Okay. I know exactly who you're talking about. Definitely exactly.
Yeah, well, he had told him I rap, so he used to come to Marina and ask me to say my rap. You know, I don't know if he was impressed or not, but you know, it was just one of them things where I, you know, that's why I had a love for rapping or whatever. And then fast forward into, I never really pursued a career as a rapper because, as you know, how the city is, you know, rappers, you know, like Forte, you know, a lot of rappers that was coming up, you know, RBL, which was a great story in itself, because I still remember when RBL albums was released. And to this day, I try to duplicate that effect, but RBL really had the city going crazy with their A Lesson to Be Learned album, you know what I'm saying? From both sides. I know they're from Hunters Point, but, you know, it resonated all the way to our section, the Fillmore section, you know, as well. And if you didn't have that Lesson to Be Learned tape during that era, then you wasn't hip, you know? You wasn't in tune to what was going on in the city.
Exactly.
But UAMCs, you know, from the UAMCs, Rapping Forte, Too Short used to come through, you know, High Street Studios, as we mentioned offline, you know, a lot of notable names came through there. And then, you know, a lot of people that went on to become somebody, you know, they went to Gal as well. Gal was like a hub for everybody, because at the time in the city, it's not like that anymore. It's like a nice academy now. But during that time, it was like, it was a rough school. You went to Gal for, you know, you can attest to that, you know.
Definitely.
It had a bad reputation.
It was a school in the movies that they try to keep you from going to or something. But, I mean, you know, I think there were some rougher schools, but Gal-El was rough enough for me. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, shit. It was enough for me.
Definitely.
Man. So I'm like, yeah, you know. Some people went through it with flying colors. Me, I was watching every step of the way, man, and down the hallway, around the corner, around. There's always something going on. We need to do a TV show based
always
on Galileo.
Something going on.
Yeah, the Galileo.
Just
a 6-episode TV show, man. It'll get everybody going. You know what I mean? But that'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would.
The good old days
of
Galileo.
And the funny thing, the good days of Galileo, because Galileo was like, what's that movie? They call me Joe or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot the name of that movie. Lean on Me. Lean on me. It was kind of like Lean on Me.
Yeah. So there it is.
They call me Batman or whatever he said. But
yeah, I forget too. Yeah, that was a no. I know exactly what you're talking about. Joe. Gosh, I can't remember that right. Joe Clark. That's it.
Joe Clark.
Yeah. Joe Clark. Now we had some experiences there, man. That was a. Now how did Galileo influence your overall experience? And Galileo High School, for those listening, I don't know what corner of the world you might be in. San Francisco, California has a school called Galileo High School, famous high school for sports, academics, and violence. How did that?
Yeah, gotta add that in there, violence.
Absolutely. But how did that, what you call it, how did that help shape you and help you become the person you are in music and entertainment today?
Well, like you said, we was during that time too, we was a football powerhouse, you know, rest in peace, OJ Simpson. OJ went there as well, you know, so we was known for football. Everything you mentioned, we was known for. So when I got there, I was kind of, I still remember freshman year, I was terrified to go to that school. But once I went there and got acclimated, then it was just another thing, you know what I'm saying? It was just, I couldn't see myself in another place, you know, because originally I wanted to go to like to Lowell or something, because I had decent grades, but I didn't apply in time. So Galileo was in my district. So I was like, okay, let me see what Galileo is all about. And like you said, it didn't fail me, because the first day of school we had a huge brawl there, you know what I'm saying? And those same people I never saw for the rest of my years at Gal. I never saw them again, you know, except for that first day of freshman year, you know,
during the brawl.
They all got expelled.
Yeah,
you know,
just thrown out
during the brawl.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah,
I think they had an annual brawl at that school. They never call when it's gonna be, you know what I mean? And it always,
yeah. That was the last of that, though. Cause we didn't have it the next year, but yeah.
But from what I remember,
it definitely occurred.
The brawls always started. The ones I seen always started like at the top of the. So there's two. There's a top. There's a, what's that? The Bay Street side. Well, it was a busy street, not that side. The other side. That's like where the houses are. There's like a house behind it. Has houses behind it, but it's like the top. You know, like when you're in a Galileo courtyard, when you go towards the it's like a prettier part. Like when you, it's the opposite side of the entrance, of the main entrance. That's where I saw the most biggest fights at, right there in that area. It reminded me of a prison, you know what I mean? Like from a movie, a prison.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you see all the people fighting, and you're just wondering at what point somebody's going to bump you upside your head. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, this is crazy. But but it shaped me, man. It did.
Definitely. You always had that stage. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely shaped me. And like you said, you know, you're still to this day probably about situational awareness, you know.
Absolutely.
Know where you're at.
Absolutely.
And know where the threats are. You know?
Absolutely, man. So, you know, I was like, I learned from that experience and everything, and you know. So what got you from being at Galileo, from rapping at Marina, to continuing going forward? Because a lot of people stop. If you remember, there was a lot of people who did it at that time period too, and then they kind of like 3 or 4 years later, 5 years later, kind of just stopped.
Well, I know I was going to always, I had a love for music. I was going to do it in some capacity. Like, you know, some of the same names that I know. And I was seeing these guys blow up, you know, because I left the city in 96, and I went to junior college in Monterey Peninsula College. And of course I was running into people from Gal or City College or whatever, you know, but one thing that struck out was Master P, you know what I'm saying? I think I was in Germany because my mom was in the military. I was in Germany at the time. Mm-hmm. And they had like a Bay Area section. And I looked at, you know, I'm pretty hip, you know, and I really thought I knew everybody in the music scene. And I just kept seeing this guy called Master P. And I remember the record, Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me. I'm like, why haven't I ever heard of this dude before? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I guess he was from Richmond, you know, and he started just putting out a multitude of tapes, you know. So that got me interested. JT started blowing up at the time, you know, although the Gamblers, like everybody that I knew, and I was like, well, I thought I was just capable as rapping as these guys, you know, no disrespect to them, but I always continued that love, you know, even being in the military, you know, we'd be freestyling or whatever, rapping or whatever. People would be like, oh, you should rap or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's cool. But it wasn't a thing I was trying to pursue, you know, at the time. But I always had an interest. I was going to be involved in some way because just the love I have for the genre of music, you know, whether it was helping run a label or developing artists or contributing in some capacity, production. You know, I done did every, you probably can attest to it yourself. I done did every job in this hip hop shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You
absolutely.
Know,
absolutely.
The manager, I don't want to manage no more. You know what I'm saying? To the production, I got a little taste of everything. From DJing, you know, I used to have a residency too, you know, so I tried everything. And now I kind of know what it takes to be that. But, you know, that's kind of how everything started, you know.
Yeah,
I always had a love and I never gave it up.
The best boss is the one who's worked every job, who washed the dishes in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Who was on the front line
definitely.
Cooking. The one who was out serving the plates. You know what I mean? Taking orders. You know what I mean? They
definitely.
Make the best bosses. So, I mean, you know, you put yourself in a position based on what you learned and what you've done. You know? And that right there is, you know, for a lot of people who start something and don't stick through it, the way to keep going is a model. You know what I mean? And you do have to try different things. If you are in music, you do need to know how it is to read the crowd, to be a DJ. You should. You should know how to, you know, do a couple of different things. But you do what you're best at. And you also should know that
definitely.
When somebody does something better than you, that's who you hire to help you. You see what
I mean? Yeah, that's who you hire. Yeah, that's great advice right there. And then seeing other people becoming successful as Dre Dogg or whatever, because somebody sent me a clip of Dre Dogg while I was in the military. Like, you know, I think they was trying to make fun of him, you know, because you know how the Bay Area rap style. It's not really like a New York. We have our own little thing going on, you know what I'm saying? So if you're not from the area, you might not take to it, you know, as fast as other places, you know, because it has its own little scene or whatever. But, you know, from seeing him, a gal, you know, to have him having like a cult following, you know, it's crazy. Him and Equipto, you know, and these are guys that you'll probably see on your day to day, you know, and he even has a song called Bobby Shaw, you know.
Watch basketball with my Tigers, I hit the ball with my Tigers, break all the laws with my Tigers, man, Bobby Shaw is my Tiger, I hit sky with my Tigers, get over high with my Tigers, cut cherry pie with my Tigers, I probably fry with my Tigers.
But from the outside looking in, you know, both of those guys are kind of like mega powerhouses in their own right. It's hard to contain two people like that in one group.
Yeah, definitely.
You know
definitely,
what I mean? It's like,
definitely.
You know, it's like, how do you manage two sticks of dynamite that's already been lit? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, they just like kind of coexisting, but they say, man, we're just kind of too explosive and volatile to, you know what I mean, to stay self-contained.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Definitely. And Boris Stiff, too. You listen to Boris Stiff. Boris Stiff was a dope project, dope group project.
Absolutely. I love Boris Stiff. You know what I mean? I still think about this one video where they was walking around the city just handing out money. And that meant something. You know what
I mean? Word?
Yeah. I got to find that. I'll send it over to you. This is a long time ago, but good song, man. You know what I mean? Shout out to the Boris Stiff
crew.
That's
super dope.
Shout out to my boy Ike Plump. I ain't hollered at Ike in a while, too. But, yeah, so the thing is, man, speaking on Equipto, legendary dude. Speaking on Nicotina, legendary dude. Nice dude. I knew him since, you know what I mean? He's my older brother's friend. So, you know what I mean? We play outside type of people. You know, you mean just go outside and play. You know what I mean? So that's how I was.
Yeah, before. I remember those days.
Yeah. So, you know, so that was definitely different when you see these people hit stardom. And they did hit stardom, because stardom, it doesn't take much to become, you know, once people start recognizing you, it doesn't take much to have your own local celebrity. And then, you know, guys like Nicotina and Equipto, they kind of branched out. Their celebrity, you know what I mean? They're well known. You know what I mean? Which, quote unquote, makes them famous. You know?
Definitely.
So, but, you know, just to know these people, man, you know, it is amazing. And to come from an area that you and I both came from, we were very fortunate to be around that and soak up some of that game and give some of the game. We were part of the, you know what I mean? We were part of that dichotomy. So you know how that goes, man. You know,
definitely. And as we say, ain't no game like what?
Filmo game.
And that's Frisco game. Well, Filmo game
first. Frisco game at large, because I was one of them Frisco dudes who was everywhere. You know what I mean? I was like, Frisco was like my city. I didn't believe in I wasn't the kind of dude who just fighting to be fighting. You know what I mean? So it's like the fact that I'm from Filmo, I'm not gonna get into you with that over that. I'm gonna get into you with just the fact that you disrespected me. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, because we Frisco folks, we gonna at the end of the day, we're gonna come together like we are now. You know what I mean? So that's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing. And I love all my Frisco artists and Bay Area artists, my California artists, West Coast artists, and so on to the rest of the world. You know what I mean? I mean, music is love. You know what I mean? So I love it all.
Definitely. You know, and I like to give a shout out too, before we go to the topic, to JT the Bigger Figure. A lot of people don't give that guy the flowers he deserved. He discovered a whole lot of art, your favorite artists, The Game, you know, Young Thug, the Migos, you know, shout out to Zaytoven for giving Atlanta their sound, but that all came from the Bay.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. And, absolutely.
You, JT, if you're listening to this, you are appreciated, brother.
That's it.
And like, so, I told you, I can't call Dre. I can't call, well, of course I can't call Diddy now, but I can call JT.
There
if
you
I
go.
Need
so the
so,
thing about
salute to the homie.
JT the Bigger Figure, he's responsible for even more careers and artists than we know, because he inspired so many people to get into this. And you know what I mean? They don't give him the credit, but he inspired people, his drive, his motivation, I remember me and JT, I would see JT every freaking where, and he'd be everywhere. I'm like, dude, how did you even know this is a private party? How did you know this was happening? You know what I mean? Or the dude was everywhere, every show, every concert, every whatever that had to do with music or whatever, JT is there. You know what I mean? He show up. And I'm like, that guy was a blueprint of how to do it back then. You know what I mean? So yeah, so big ups to JT the Bigger Figure, man. We gotta invite him on the show. Me, you, and him have a round table, man. Cause I love to talk to him. It's been some years since I talked to JT. The last time I seen JT in person, we was in at my mom's house on Grove Street. We was recording the track. That was a long time ago, man. That was in the 90s, bro.
Oh wow.
It's been that long. You know what I mean? But man.
Yeah, he's still doing great things. You know, he got Trap Flicks. You know, he's still doing his thing.
Absolutely.
You know,
so,
and he had the independent game, the book or whatever. So I think I have the digital version of that. But he's definitely been an inspiration for me. If somebody lists people who you're inspired by, he would definitely be on that list.
Big up to JT. So we talked a little bit about how you got into the music and everything. So what did you take this to if you took what you learned from all these years to now, presently, are you actively producing, promoting a specific artist, yourself, or are you in the studio? What's going on with you with the hands-on thing?
Well, right now I'm working heavily with the ET Boys. They're based out of Miami, Florida. And I see them as one of them groups that's going to be next, you know, because they have a kind of like a futuristic sound. They don't really sound like anybody. Mm-hmm. And they have a great team. You know, that's what it takes to be to get far in the industry. Because a lot of people are great rappers, but they don't have a great team around them. Because, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day, and there's not, it's not possible for you to do everything it takes for you to be that great artist. You know, other people working around the clock to make sure that, you know, so it's the E.T. Boys. I'm working with a vocalist out of North Carolina, Jocelyn. I'm working with Master Wiz. He's out of Atlanta. He's a lyricist. I'm working with Madison J. He's out of Raleigh, North Carolina. He's was actually on Kay Slay show. Like, all these guys that I've been working with are on the verge. They either been in situations on labels, or they just have, I feel that they have great talent. You know, another one is Jay Outlaw out of Crenshaw, Los Angeles, California. And like everybody that I work with, it's a crazy story how I started working with them, you know, because, you know, rest in peace to the late, great Nipsey Hussle, but right. He's from Nipsey Hussle's section, you know, okay. And I always used to see Nipsey Hussle clips and be like, man, I want to work with that brother one day, just off of his vibe. You know, his music was, you know, it's dope, but it wasn't like he was, you know, that guy or whatever as far as the rapping goes. But his whole aura, his whole persona, what drew me to him, you know what I'm saying? Right, his whole, he had a sense of independence too, you know. He was a student at JT as well, you can tell, you know. And this, when I came across Jay Outlaw's music, you know, last year, I happened to be talking to Big Gang, who was promoting him. Shout out to Big Gang out of Chicago, but he's in Texas. He's like one of the dopest A&Rs in Texas right now. Oh. But he had sent me some of his stuff, and I was like, hey, this dude is dope, you know. And he was like, yeah, I'm working with him. And I was like, hey, tap me in with him, you know. So I got on the phone with him, I kid you not, it's just like when me and you got on the phone, it's like, I already knew this dude, you know what I'm saying? Oh, perfect. It's like, yeah, dude, I talked to all the homies or whatever. It's like, I knew these dudes for years, you know, and I was like telling them, and everything aligned with us, you know, whether it was how I looked at his brand or whatever, there's nothing off, you know, about that first introduction, you know. So I was like, you know, from then I started working his stuff. He had his own show during South by Southwest, and we just took it from there, you know. We took it to a whole nother level, you know, like, all right, you're a student of Nipsey Hussle, so you are really kind of versed in how to get to the money. You get what I'm saying? And so right now we're trying to get a label situation for him. You know, as far as the other guys too, same situation, because it, as you know, it takes a lot of money really to take him to that next level. Absolutely. You know, we can nickel and dime it. We can nickel and dime it, but you know, in order to make some real money, we're going to have to get some sponsorship from a label, you know, or like a joint situation with a label, you know, where we can benefit each other. And that's what I'm trying to get them to, where they're not asking for in advance. They're more coming. They're coming to the labels as a partner rather than somebody that takes an advance that can't pay it off. You get what I'm saying? So exactly. We want to make sure our numbers are good. And pursue it from that angle, you know what I'm saying? So I've been super lucky with the artists I've been working with, you know, I had a chance to work with, you know. I even worked on the Rhapsody project, you know. That was near and dear to my heart, too, because she actually won a Grammy this year. And we was part of that, you know, part of her promotion.
Man, congratulations. Big ups. Yeah. That's dope. That is dope, man. You know, the thing is, we're going to have to bring each and every one of them on here. And talk to them and get their backstory, because, you know, all coming up is all about access. Money buys you access or who you know. You know what I mean? So the thing is, the more spread you can do, you know, a lot of people got to work who they know, because who you know people I don't know that if I got with them, we can do something, and then vice versa. You see what I mean? So it's all about, like, to me, it's like, yeah, let's get access, because that's why you say, like, the record label, I wouldn't take an advance from a record company. I want them to give me access to their channels, you know what I mean? And I don't have to be paying them back money. We can just go forward from where we at and split the money, me and the record label, and I ain't got to be paying them back and owing them and recouping and all that stuff, you know what I mean? Because they have access channels that I need. and they have connections that I need. That's one reason why I would, if I was an artist, I would go to a record label. But other than that, I don't know much more they can offer you. But they do have, you know, some people who want to get signed. They don't know why. I think you got to know why you want to be signed if you know what I mean, and what that entails, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And then you gotta realize that the work starts once you get signed. A lot of people think they can kick up their feet once they get the deal. Like, no, you're going to be working hard. They need that money back. You get what I'm saying? And an interesting question I want to ask you is, I know that's coming from an older version of you, but what would your, I think you started off kind of early in the industry. What would your earlier self, your 16, 17-year-old self say if you was offered a recording contract? Which, so, I think you were. I think you was in some situations.
Yeah, so we did a whole album that got kind of shelved. But there was a situation we had with Columbia Records, and I wasn't even old enough to sign the contracts yet. You know what I mean? But the reality of it was, is the deal fell through because some of the other members they didn't understand what was going on. I was my mom was there. You know, here's the thing, man. Your mom is a great manager, but you need to find a real manager. It's somebody who's been in the business. You know what I mean? My mom gave me great advice. But I mean, for the other guys, I don't know who was making their decisions. You know what I mean? Some of them were a couple years older than me. But the deal basically fell through because we could not come to an agreement amongst the members. You know what I mean? And so we would have got signed. And I told you, remember I told you a story last night, the other day, about a certain, when I went down to the radio station and the DJ, I'm not going to say his name, him and his crew tried to, you know, jump me and my crew back in the day, right?
Definitely.
So
that was a great story, by the way.
Yeah, but that's not the end of it. The end of it is, the deal was, he turned around and offered us a deal on the record label that he was on. And that was the deal. You see what I mean? And the thing is, it's like, after that little incident, he decided to be friendly with us again. And then he said, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to bring these people to Columbia and we're going to make some money off of them. And that was another part of the hiccup, because the money as my older self, if I looked at that contract, I would just put a match to it. But as my younger self, being signed was a deal. I was like, man, I don't care. I want to do it. You know what I mean? And so I advise anybody, no matter what age you at, man, get proper representation. You know what I mean? It can't be Uncle Jerry. It can't be, unless it's St. Charles or somebody. You know what I mean? But, you know, it can't be like just somebody who don't have any experience in it. If they don't have no experience in it, man, find somebody who does. You know what I mean?
And
roll with that.
Shout out to St. Charles. Shout out to St. Charles as well. And then to piggyback off of what you just said, I was just thinking about Souls of Mischief, right?
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't know that the prominent members, his dad was a lawyer. Imagine if you would have had the homeboy in the situation, then 93 Till Infinity wouldn't be the hit it is still today. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So that's a come up right there. I think, who's that, A+?
His dad was in the industry, put them all together. A lot of people think that they were just some kids that wanted to rap and started it. No, that didn't happen like that.
That's like, they were close to like, what's that robot, Voltron or something like that, Five Mighty Robots put together to make a super group type of thing, man.
Super group.
A+. I think he went to Berkeley High too.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's what I mean. It's like, if you got, and that's the difference between my success trajectory then to now. If, for me as a younger person, I didn't take advice. I didn't say, I don't need no manager. You know what I mean? And that's all we needed. We needed a manager. And like a DJ named Sway had told me one time, he said, you guys are good, but you need a producer. He told me, you need a producer, right?
Yeah.
I was offended because I was the best person making the beats. You know what I mean? But I didn't realize what he meant.
Got you.
He meant, you need somebody to take this, what you got, and help you make it better. You know what I mean? Because
there you go.
You know what I mean? Because yeah, man, you know, I was using the sampler. The sampler had 3 seconds. You can hear the sampler cutting off between the loop. You know what I mean? The whole loop wouldn't go around. You know, that kind of stuff. But as a young person, I take it wrong. And that's the problem. When we're young, we just perceive things. We don't have the experience yet to relegate that and say, hey, wait a minute, this is a helpful thing, not a negative thing. It's not an insult. This is an improvement. This is constructive. You know what I mean? And so my younger self, signing a contract, no, without proper representation. You know what I mean? That's it. Somebody want to go sign a contract today, you got to know what you're getting into. The only way I see it, the only reason I see I would do something like that is for the access. You mean to tell me you're going to give me access to all these promoters, you're going to give me access to all these distributors, you're going to give me access to all these channels. I think I got disconnected. Hang on a sec.
Hey, can you hear me?
I was having the best conversation.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's all good. So that was it. I was just hey, you know, some of the best conversations. Nobody else is going to hear, man, but at least we're recording.
Definitely. I was like, oh, man, I need to hop back in this. And he was still talking. So hopefully we get that on the show so I can re-listen to it. But, yeah, let's pick up where we left off at.
One sec.
Yeah. J.O. Special delivery. Got my mojo back. Spitting heavy artillery. No drill. Weapons pointed against me shall prosper. I'm way hotter. On my tiny blue shade, I turn them up proper. They don't want to go in the back of the buildings and squabble. None. These niggas hide over the net and act like prima donnas for the most part. Just be hyped up like Frankie Lyman. Then get dropped, start taking shots at they labels crying. Y'all need to stop it. Now picture me rolling and hopping. Feeling like Pac, all eyes on me when the album dropping. One of the hottest out the city of angels. I'm no stranger to the west side. A tiny low banger. I've been stuck since a youngin'. Committed to hustling and fly crippin'. I'm on low status with General Hustle.
So that was it. Just proper representation and knowing that just because you signed don't mean you can sit back now and say I did it. Nah, that's just the starting point. Now you got your new starting point. You know what I mean? You got a team with you. You got signatures on the paperwork. You got a record label here that's going to represent you in certain scenarios. Now you got to run because it's not time to kick your feet up. It's time to run. You know what I mean? How you think people get these 20 and 30 year longevities? Them guys did not make a record and sit on it. And you know what I mean? And then come back 2 years later and make another. Nah, man, they was on it. They was on it. That's how you got to be.
Definitely. Some of these guys been on tour ever since. You know, they never stop because it doesn't stop. Like a lot of people, Vanilla Ice, but he laughed all the way to the bank with just one hit song, you know.
That's it.
Oh, he's doing the peanut festivals every year. He's doing the tater showdowns or whatever in these obscure towns. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then he go back home to luxury, to a life of luxury. You know what I mean? And probably less problems.
There you go.
Yeah. So
less problems.
Exactly.
You know.
So you got these artists that you are. It seems like in a couple of different ways you're helping them and you're building with them, you know. How does a man who does all this stuff handle running a radio station? Being a program director is not an easy job. How's that go?
Well, shout out to DJ Dave Jordan. He helps me out a lot. Actually, he helped me out a lot this week. But he makes sure that everything is running properly and everything is running smoothly. You know, he's making sure there's no dead air. And we know what dead air means. Dead air is bad.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps the music playing, you know. But, yeah, it's a juggle. So, like I said, I do the charts every week. And just adding new music to the station. We have a lot of dope shows such as the Ann Taylor Show, shameless plug.
Man.
You know, a lot of dope DJs out there that submit some great shows, you know, and that's why we're up for Hood Idol Hip Hop Independent Radio Station of the Year. Shout out to all you guys, especially the Ann Taylor Show. You know, man, you guys contributed to this.
Hey, you know what? I like it. I like it, man. You know, so the whole thing about the charts is some people hear you say this, but you're ranking the, are you ranking songs that are on your station, or you're ranking show songs that are submitted some other way by vote?
Well, it's a whole, it's a process. You know, we have a committee, but we'll I could take an independent song and add it if I like it. You know, I could add it to the batch or whatever. It's not necessarily numbers. Me and you know that numbers can be secured, you know. Right. So that's not really a great way to go. Like a lot of, you know, a lot of up and coming artists, you go to their Spotify and they'll have like a million streams or whatever, but you go to their socials, they have no interaction.
The thing is, I want to ask you is, people listening right now, if they like what they hear from what you're doing, are you open to a conversation with that person? If it's an artist, they say, hey, you know what, I like what you're talking about, what can we do together? Do you have your hands full, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I'm open to work with artists, but they have to have a budget. You know what I'm saying? Because you know how this goes. You know, my time is now more valuable. When I first started off, I was doing a lot of free stuff, you know, which I still do, you know, depending on the artist. There are artists with a tremendous amount of potential, and I would add them to what I'm already doing, you know, because I'm doing a lot so far. But I will stop doing what I'm doing to answer any questions that they may have. You know, I'm accessible. Yeah, that was a question.
All right. Well, is there anybody that you would like to shout out as we get close to the end of this segment?
Yeah, definitely. I got a few shout outs I wrote down. I want to shout out DJ Dave Jordan, and the owner of IGR Miami. I want to shout out Culture Cartel Media, who I do journalist work for. I'd like to shout out E.T. Boys, Pepper Gomez, the CEO over there. I'd like to shout out Jocelyn, Madison J, Master Wiz, J Outlaw, Poncho the Pop Star, and everybody else. You know, all the listeners out there, I shout you guys out, you know, and the Ann Taylor Show, you know. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
No problem. We had to, you know, we had to do this. This is only the first time, and you're going to be a regular, constant. People going to hear our voices intertwined, because this interview was more about just refreshing and letting the people know a little bit more about you. They don't know how our conversations get, how we really cut up and go in deep. You know what I mean? We was like surface level today. You know what I mean? So we're going to get
super, super surface level.
Yeah.
Because we're identical in a lot of ways. We're from the same era. We know the same people. And then, like, I'll say a name. Like, if I normally say Crypto, nobody knows who I'm talking about. You know, right. No disrespect to Crypto. But, you know, super dope artist, you know. But he's from that era. He's from the city. And he's done a lot for the city. Even Boris Stiff, too. You know, great group. You know, I listen to you guys' Christmas album every year. So salute to Boris Stiff.
They got a Christmas album? Yeah,
they do. That's and it's dope. Actually pretty good. So I put it up there with the Death Row Christmas.
There you go. Well, we got to go
Santa
ahead
Claus
and
go straight to the ghetto.
I'm gonna have to go ahead and get that Christmas album and check it out, because I like to check it out. But yeah, you know what, one more time, thank you for coming through, man. This was real fun. I appreciate it. I appreciate your support of the Ann Taylor Show and rekindling a friendship that should have happened a long time ago. Probably, you know, like, you know how to say 6 degrees of separation. Every six person knows somebody that, you know what I mean? Or how's it? In between. There's six people in between everybody that knows people. Well, forget it. You look up 6 degrees of separation. You'll see what I'm saying. That's us. You know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. It's super is us, because you was on the wrestling team the year before I was on there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. It's like, you know.
So, yeah.
So I was on season two, and the season three came in with a fresh new cast. the crew. I went upstairs and do my homework and never came back down. You know what I mean? So the season kept going.
Right up.
That's how it goes. Well, thank you so much. Big ups to you. Thank you for coming to the show. And please be available when I invite you back. You know what I mean? So we can do some more. And anything that we didn't get a chance to talk about today, anytime you want to touch on it, always welcome to do such. Come back on the show.
Hey, definitely. And shout out to you once again. I think you're going to be the next Tom Joyner. Tom Joyner is getting old, so we need Ann Taylor now.
We do. I mean, you know what? Tom Joyner, just patch us in right now. You know what I mean? Give me a slot right now on your show. You know, is he still? Yeah, he's still doing his thing, right?
Right on.
Doing that. Yeah, so
he's still doing his thing. I just checked last week.
Okay, there you go. So, you know. All right, there it is, my man.
Welcome back. We have some very sad breaking entertainment news to share with you. TMZ is reporting that Malcolm Jamal Warner, probably best known for his role on The Cosby Show, has died. People report that the 54-year-old was in Costa Rica on a family vacation and accidentally drowned while swimming. Warner played Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, even earning an Emmy nomination. He most recently starred in Fox's primetime series, Alert Missing Persons Unit. We're going to have much more on this story as it develops. He leaves behind a wife and daughter.
Oh, just shocking, sad news. All right, Amanda, thank you.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through. Then I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I'll tell you.
When I see you again.
You both go out your way and the vibe is feeling strong and what's small turn to a friendship turn to a bond and that bond will never be broken, the love will never get lost. And when brotherhood come first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach, so remember me when I'm gone. Can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
So let the light guide your way. Yeah. Hold every memory as you go. And every road.
Peace out and love each other one day at a time. Take one day at a time of your day to just relax, smell the fresh air, you know what I'm saying? Don't spend all your money, you know, save it, put it away, don't even touch it, you know what I'm saying? And just enjoy what life pleasures give to you, you know what I mean? Be happy that you're alive, pray every day, eat your vitamins, and just live your life, man, the best way you know how.
All right, everybody, thank you for joining me this week on the Ann Taylor Show. thank you to my guests for joining us. We had a great show. It was good to see everybody here again. Hopefully we can all reconvene right here on this station next week, same time.